Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
Hey guys, welcome back. This is the Mom Struggling Well podcast, the podcast where we laugh about motherhood so we don't cry about it. Because although motherhood's so amazing and so important, it's also really hard. And sometimes we want to quit, but I don't know about your husband. My husband keeps telling me I can't do that. So we have episode 57 here, and I am talking to my friend, Debbie Chapman. She is a speaker and a writer, and most recently, a retreat planner. You'll get to hear about that later. But very noteworthy is the fact that she has 11 children. 1-1. Double digits. So impressive. As you can imagine, she has a lot of mothering wisdom, and you can just tell that she has learned so much. You're gonna really love our chat. We talk about teenagers, we talk about technology, we talk about knowing ourselves. Before we get started though, I wanted to remind you about the Mom Struggling Well mugs. They're red, they're campfire mugs, they're cute. I use mine every day, except if it's dirty, but sometimes if it's dirty anyway. The great thing about the mugs is they help support the costs associated with the podcast. So I really appreciate that. My husband really appreciates that. And then my kids get to eat. So everybody wins. Okay, so that last part's not true, but I felt like it added a little bit of flair. You know what I mean? I'm going to be giving some away this week. Mugs, not children, just to be clear. Because when we reach 5,000 followers on Instagram, I thought it'd be fun to give some stuff away. And I'm the boss of that. So there we go. Tune in for that this week over at Mom Struggling Well on Instagram. And make sure to be there on Wednesday night for Struggle Well Wednesdays on Instagram, which is where we talk about what happened in our day. And it's one of my favorite moments of the week because you guys are funny. All right, you guys are going to love this chat with Debbie. Let's go ahead and jump right in. Hi, Debbie. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Hi, Emily.
Good. It's so good to see you. I saw you a couple weekends ago. It's always a pleasure.
Likewise.
Yeah. So will you please tell everybody about you and your family?
Yes. I am a mother of 11. My husband and I married kind of in the end of college. Okay. So we started early.
Was 11 your plan?
No. Our plan was big.
Okay.
We told our parents we wanted to have 5 children, and we think that 5 was the biggest number we could think of.
Okay. And then what happened at 5, after 5?
We just really fell in love with family life and asked the Lord for more. I mean, that's kind of the short version of it.
Okay.
3 of our kids are married now, and our youngest is 13, so we're at the latter part of our nest, and we have 9 grandchildren.
My goodness. So when you see babies, do you miss it or have you done it so many times that you're over it?
I only miss my own.
Okay.
Ironically, I was never a big baby person.
Really?
When people would say, "Do you want to hold my baby?" I was like, "No, I'm good." You know, I mean, I like babies and I'm very pro-life and all that's involved with that. I'm fascinated with the whole birth experience and the honor of birthing a human being.
Yeah.
I do have a background in child development. So the neuroscience and human development part of it is absolutely fascinating to me.
Okay.
But I hadn't considered myself a big baby person, but I do love my grandkids. I'm absolutely crazy about them.
I'm sure. Okay, let me ask you a question just practically, because my kids are adopted. I've never been pregnant. But after 11, I mean, do you just do it at home, like on your lunch break? Like, does it become so easy? You don't even care or think about it?
I wish. Actually, I had some complications and had 6 of my babies by cesarean.
Okay.
And I'm really no hero. I'm really like a big wimp. So it was hard emotionally for me to have surgery because that's like not my thing. Mm. But my daughter's a midwife. One of our daughters is a midwife. I don't even know how many births I've watched. I like show up at my friends' houses when they're going to have babies because I love to be there and pray. take pictures, whatever they need.
That's fun. Okay, so you have a lot of teenagers living at your house.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gotten there yet, but we've got the attitude, but not the hormones, but many attitudes, but it feels really big sometimes. So what did you feel like you did when your kiddos were younger that helped the teenagers be less hard for them? Was there anything, or is it hard either way? Like, help me set my expectations.
I think it's hard for all of us going through those years because so much change happens so quickly in our bodies, even in an ideal environment. I remember one time going to my bedroom I think I was about 12 or 13. I had some sort of minor conflict with my mother, who always handled things, you know, so graciously. And my dad was not happy because I probably rolled my eyes or did some teenage thing. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I remember overhearing my parents. I overheard my mom say, "She needs some space. She's having a hard time right now." And I remember thinking, how did she know? Mm-hmm. I didn't even know I was having a hard time. It just all made sense when I heard her say that. It's difficult. It's a difficult road because our children change developmentally from the time they're about 10. They start to change. They start to morph into a teenager, which isn't necessarily a bad word, but it just is a whole new a whole new place for them and for us. I mean, I have 8 sons, and they grow exponentially. So they don't even know where their feet are or their hands are, and they step on you and they bump into you and their voice changes.
Yeah.
It's just an uncomfortable stretch for a lot of kids.
Mm-hmm. How do you let them know they're still okay even when it feels like everything's out of control for them?
Well, first of all, to back up, I think just human dignity and respect is something that's required in every stage of life. And we really can train our kids in that when they're little. Some people don't like the word train, but I mean, it's just you do it over and over again. You know, this is how we treat people. You look at them in the eye, you shake their hand, you say, "Yes, ma'am," or "Okay," or acknowledge when you're spoken to, or you treat people with just respect and dignity, which is biblical.
Yeah.
And then so when they move into those middle years and they start to feel like life doesn't make sense, and basically it actually makes like too much sense all at once because they start to logically connect the dots in life. I mean, they look at us and they realize that we're not as pretty without our makeup. You know what I'm saying? When they're little, they just think that we're amazing.
Yes.
And they realize that maybe their circumstances are more challenging. Life just isn't as glorious all the way around. And then what are they going to do with that? They need to be grateful, have a good attitude, see the positive, you know, seek the Lord, honor us, honor their teachers or leaders or anyone, you know, else that's older or younger, and honor themselves.
It's a lot to do.
It is a lot to do. And they didn't know they needed that before. You just sort of live life. But the way I look at it is once they reach those pre-adolescent years, on some days, not every day, they need to be able to live on automatic pilot. You know, when hormones are raging, they need to be able to set their gauges, so to speak, and do the right thing. And sometimes I would look at my kids and I would say, "Do the right thing." And then they would kind of look back at me because they know what the right thing is, you know.
Yeah.
You don't hit your sibling, or you don't stomp away or roll your eyes, or you don't say what comes to your mind. There's a time and place for that sometimes, but not all the time, obviously.
Yeah. How do you know which things are big enough issues? Like, my issue is I want everything to be a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like when the stakes get higher as teenagers, I can only imagine that it's kind of going to be a mess. I've got to figure out which things are big issues. And I understand that character is a big issue, but I can turn any minor infraction into a big, bad future for them. You know what I mean?
I think we all can. Someone said something like, we judge ourselves by our intentions, you know, and we judge someone else by their actions, and we like impose intentions.
Yeah. Like, we make up a story that's bad.
Yeah. You're an evil person. You're going to go, you know, to jail or whatever. You know, we just like play it out in our mind. As mothers, we have that potential. I think it's important to just have perspective on how a child is learning and how they're processing life.
Okay.
So when they, you know, when they come up through those early years, they like a lot of repetition. They like their days to match, which drives us loony sometimes because we don't want our days to match. And, but, you know, depending on our personality, but if every day looks the same, they are so happy.
Yeah.
If dinner's at 5, if a book is read before nap time, if, you know, we play outside and we come back in and we watch our little video and we do our, I mean, they're just happy campers until they reach a certain age, and that doesn't satisfy anymore, and it shouldn't for most people. And then they need some reason. They need to be able to have maybe some jurisdiction. They need to start to see their place in the world. And that world is usually, or it begins with the four walls of our home. And what's their place? What's my value here? I mean, we can tell them all day long, you're valuable. But if they don't have a job, a chore, a part in making life successful in their home or in their neighborhood and in their school. It just goes out from there.
Okay.
Then it's just words. You know, everyone needs to be a vital part of life. And then they move on from there to their high school years or later teens. And that's not good enough. They need a voice.
Okay.
They have a lot to say, or they have a lot to communicate. They may communicate it through their clothing, through their art, through their music, with words. They reach what some would call the rhetorical stage, where they need to give back. They need to make their imprint on the world, their unique imprint. We, at that age, we have no clue what that is, but we have this huge urge to change the world.
Yeah. Okay. So going back to like before the high school years, when they want to be a part of like making a difference in their community and whatever, how does that play out? Like service projects or what?
That can be, that's an option. A lot of it has to do with just how we interact at home, expecting them to maybe rise to the challenge, whether you're cooking a meal together or they come in and, you know, you're required to help you clean up after a meal, celebrate together, you know, work hard together, do the yard. And then afterwards, we're going to have ice cream, or we're going to break open a big cold watermelon and enjoy it. You know, I told our boys, we have two that are still in school at home. And I told them this week, I said, okay, this is a big week because we're starting back this week with our co-ops and our different classes. We homeschool. I said, okay, the end of the week, we're going out to dinner. We're going to do something fun as a family, just them and their dad and I. We're going to go celebrate. What would y'all like to eat? And we've been doing like a special, trying to do some natural food alternatives. And I said, we'll go wherever you want to go. Let's go eat something that's not on the diet.
Yeah.
Does that help?
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so working in the yard, for example, you want everybody to go out and work in the yard and it's going to be like on the movies, but then nobody wants to go and everybody's mad, or they give it a solid 3 minutes and then they're, you know, digging in the dirt. How do you rein in the attitudes or the, oh, really? I don't want to do this. What do you do? Because I just get mad, and I think there's probably a different way.
Well, I mean, we all have been down that road, and it doesn't work. I used to tell moms, I mean, yelling at your kids, it doesn't say like in the Bible, thou shalt not yell at your kids, but it doesn't work.
That's true. That's true.
It just exasperates us and them, and it's counterproductive. So we all want to be effective in what we do.
Yeah.
Sometimes we compare a job down to a lot smaller according to their age and their place in life. Now, if they've reached the place where they just don't want to work, that's a whole nother ballgame. And there's a lot of really good books out there and resources that can help us, you know, require that of them.
Okay. Well, what is one? Where's a listener who just has a kid who just is like, nope.
There's a book. It's in the other room. It's called Cleaning House.
Okay.
It's pretty popular.
Okay.
And it breaks it down into every person who lives in this house needs to be responsible. And here's a lot of creative ideas. It's written by a lady who has a blog called The Moat Blog. I cannot remember her first name.
Okay. I'll look it up. It's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
I try to only recommend books that are pretty moderate as far as like rules, you know, because so many times people would just get caught up in the rules and they.
Yeah. I get it, because it seems safer. Lots of rules, you know, but not necessarily always better. So,
yeah. You might turn to some sort of an online resource, even a Fly Lady, if you know who Fly Lady is.
Yeah,
you know, somebody who, yeah, you break. I used to print out her lists and say, it's Monday, it's the first week of the month, we're going to clean the porch, the entryway, and the dining room. Here we go. And here's the list. You know, let's divide it up. This is what has to be done. So there's a lot of creative ways to do that. Some kids like to do the same thing, especially if they're younger, more of that grade school age or younger. They do well doing the same thing. Like every day they sweep the kitchen and vacuum their bedroom twice a week, or, you know, just the real systematic without being too creative. But to send a kid to a big yard and say, let's do this. I mean, that's just not fun. And we live in Texas.
I know, it's so hot.
It's hot, and there's things that bite us and sting us and all of that. So I think if we can keep it focused and small.
Okay.
Stephen Covey, he cracks me up, because with his son, I believe he just had one son, he wanted him to mow the yard. He's talking about a teenager. And he took him out to the front yard and he said, I want two things. This is a teenager. This is not an 8-year-old. He said, I want it clean and I want it green. And so he taught him big picture, you know, of how is it going to be green? Do you water it, edge it? I want it clean. I want it mowed. And so there's different perspectives. At different ages, they need different directions of what to do.
Yeah.
But I think give them a limit. So say, like, for 1 hour, we're going to rake leaves. You get this one, you get this bag, you get that bag, and we're carrying them out to the curb. And just to make it clear of what's expected of them. And in our house, if you kind of lollygagged around, you just got more work because, you know, we're a big family. Many hands make light work. I mean, there's just not room for somebody to just drag their feet. So the job is still there.
Okay. I definitely make the jobs are just a little bit too big or overwhelming, or my expectations are big even for me, and I'm a grown up. So
well, they are for all of us. I mean, it's kind of like when your child comes home from school and we say, how was your day? And they say,
good.
Fine. I mean, there's no, because it's too big of a question, you know?
Oh,
so
okay.
If we bring the question to, of course, we want them to know we cared about them their day.
Yeah.
But if we say, how was lunch? Who'd you sit with? You know, how was your track practice today? How'd things go with that math teacher? Did that lesson work out okay? More specific, then they have answers for it. So if we send them to their room to clean, they may, you know, shove things under their bed or, you know, halfway do it and come out 3 minutes later and say, I'm done. Mm-hmm. But if we send them in there with specifics, like let's reorganize your closet or, you know, clean everything out from under your bed, we're going to vacuum or pull the sheets up, make your bed, then it's small and specific and measurable.
Yeah.
And then they know whether they've done it or not.
That's really good. Okay, so let me ask you this question. As kids get older and they start questioning, like, their faith, is this real? Why do we do this? Do we have to go to church on Sunday? How do you address those types of things? Because obviously we cannot force them to follow our faith.
Mm-hmm.
We want their hearts, but how do we get that?
What would be an example of an age that you're referring to?
I don't know. I'm just looking at the gloom and doom future that I'm afraid of. That's a conversation I'm having in the future with my future kids.
Well, I think to back up, the conversations to be had in those early years, because if we fill their mind with the word and we begin to show them the acts of God in nature.
Okay.
From the time they're early, they start to fill their moral warehouse
okay. In
their mind with the word of God and what the Lord has done. So then when they start to question, then that's what they refer back to.
Okay.
Do I believe this? Is what my teacher's saying contradicts? Where's truth? I know we had such a huge search for truth in our society.
Mm.
So much has changed. I mean, when I was about to leave high school, I was searching for truth in my own heart, and no one really knew.
Okay.
I just knew that anything I had landed on was not solid.
Okay.
And then when I went to church, and it wasn't probably the best quality music, it wasn't probably the most polished message ever. You know, everything's changed so much communication-wise, but I heard truth.
Okay.
It really settled in my heart, and I said, I want this. What does it look like? What do I have to do? We want our kids to be able to recognize truth in their heart.
Yeah. What does it look like? Obviously, we talk to them like during meals and as we're driving in the car, if something comes up, did you have kind of like a set time with the Lord kind of model that you did with your kids?
We did a variety of things through the years. We probably went a little overboard with trying to make it ritualistic. We're trying to figure this thing out.
Oh, yeah.
Worship goes a long way.
Okay.
Especially for kids who are more auditory learners. You hear the music and those words stick in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can have worship music, you know, in your home, there's a huge variety of types of worship music
that
can, you know, just minister to the soul. It just calms us down, gives us peace. Something that's like a scripture memory that's fun, that keeps their mind focused is really helpful to have worship for them to see us worship the Lord and can tell the difference that it makes in our spirit, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a whole lot of a place for long drawn out conversations about this when they're little because they believe. You know, when Jesus said you need faith like a child, you know.
Interesting.
The child says, I believe, you know, I get this. I want it. Sign me up, you know.
Yeah.
And we just keep the constant drip coming in our home and in their lives and the overflow, you know, from our lives. And then to be ready for the questions when they get older. I've always told our kids, God's not afraid of your questions because he's not.
Yeah.
We are. Scares us to death, but he's not. He's not at all. He welcomes them. And that's the essence of the gospel because it's good news and it's the answer that we're all looking for.
Yeah. So we don't have to be defensive about it at all. Yeah.
Well, it's always a good to check ourselves when we get defensive because we can't force it. You know, like you said, but we can present it. And one of the key things that our kids that are older now told my husband and I both. They said they really drew a lot of strength from seeing us turn to God's word. And so there's those times you have your Bible next to your chair or you're reading or you're, you know, I had no idea that that made a difference. But what they said was it gave them comfort to know that we weren't God, that we drew from the God of the universe any wisdom and direction, and that we were needy, that we needed the Lord. And that was very, very sweet. That's my big encouragement to you and younger moms, younger families, to keep the word out and present and in our own heart, to use as a, you know, as a sword into our own heart, not so much as a club, you know, to get our kids in order. We've all done that, but so they see the power of God's word.
That's so good. I was reading on your blog, and you mentioned that being secure in your mothering journey is a journey. That's why you use the word journey. The feedback I get from my listeners and from my own self is that it's hard. You kind of sometimes think it's going to become more natural or be more instantaneous. How would you encourage someone to become, you know, to walk out that becoming more secure journey? It's a very poorly asked question, but you get the point.
No, I get it. I totally get it. And it's a very good question. I think, first of all, it really begins with our understanding of ourselves and how secure we are with who we are. Now, we're ever changing. I mean, I'm changing this year and we need to, you know, we're ever growing and changing. So I'm not advocating saying, oh, this is who I am, like it or lump it, you know. I have a quick temper, I have a sharp tongue, and, you know, this is how it is. And so, because I do, so I've had to really work through the years. But to take notice of how we're made, because we're all made, and, you know, by design, and we're so different. And to enjoy who we are and really live within our limits of what we have to offer to our children, that dispels a lot of comparison. As much as I like art, I can't create what you create. I would be a basket case. I mean, it would take me way too much time and it wouldn't be right, you know? And so I can appreciate who you are and what you offer and still be secure in my limitations.
How would you encourage someone to find out those things about themselves? Some people really just don't know.
I would do, there's a plethora of personality tests out there, whether it's Strength Finders or what's the one everybody uses? I can't think of it now, but there's so many.
If with all the letters.
Yeah,
that one,
the INFP kind of thing. Myers-Briggs.
Yes.
There's so many free online versions of different things. And just start to give yourself permission to explore who you are.
Yeah.
And then to work on the areas, you know, where we're all, that doesn't give us permission to not be disciplined, you know, and focused and all that. I think that's a given. But just to enjoy, some of us have more words than others. You know, some of us need solitude. It took me years in my mothering, because my husband's an extrovert, to really acknowledge the fact that I'm an introvert. I love to talk. I don't mind being the life of the party. I don't mind big crowds. If I have a plan for them, you know, if I'm like on the stage or if I'm, you know, have a role. But if I walk into a room of people I've never seen before, I'm going to sit down. I mean, I'm just not. Well, during my day, how that translates to motherhood, I'm just surrounded with people. And I needed to refuel. So I needed times to pull away and shut the door or, you know, the gate or something and breathe. Not because they were wrong or bad or I was wrong or bad. It just was a need by design that I had. And once I gave myself permission and realized my introvert tendencies, I'm not an extreme introvert, but it's very much a part of who I am. Then all of a sudden I have ideas and creativity and grace for people around me. And I want them back in my life. I just have to have limits.
Yeah, you know? That's so good. Because I am too. And I spent a long time feeling bad about it. Like I just needed to try harder to be more excited to be around all the noise. It didn't work.
Well, it helps us be the better version of ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's what we all need. And then we're all designed differently as far as like what we see. I'm not horribly visual.
Okay.
Like when I would get ready for church, my husband was on a pastoral staff for many years. And I would ask my teenagers, did I wear this last week? Because I really don't care. I have cute things that I like and I'll wear them over and over again.
Yeah.
So I don't keep that in my mind, but I will remember something that is said. I'm very... Okay. Audio, you know, so if there's a lot of noise in my house, it eats at me. I can't handle it. So we had to keep a quieter environment. I thought, Lord, this is you. We have 13 people in our house. It's not crickets quiet, but it had to have order as far as the is what our home sounded like. Mm-hmm. And it was helpful for me and to our family. You know, we just didn't have a lot of chaos.
Yeah, I agree. And I tell him, I am so happy for you to be ridiculously loud. I just need you to do it on the other side of the house.
Well, and I would tell the kids, that's why God created the great outdoors. There it is. The door, the backyard.
That's so good.
Just have at it.
And it is great when you are out there.
It is. It so is. And then also understand, I mean, that's the first component. And of course, being rooted in Christ, but that's a sanctification journey. I heard people teach, oh, well, you can't expect your kids to be this or that until you are. And I thought, well, this is going to be a long road. You know, I mean, I don't think God puts that on me. It's a journey of being sanctified. And it's an everyday choice to walk in grace and to grow in Christ-likeness as a believer. But the other aspect I would say is to know the season that your child is in.
Okay.
And understand, you know, how they learn, what they learn, what they need. When they get into those middle years, they need more quiet. They need time to themselves. Okay. They need to go to their room and shut the door sometimes, not all the time. And they may have a tendency to shut us out. And how do we draw them back into our world and how do we give them space?
What do you do? How do you know when enough's enough?
Well, I think some of that comes down to just courtesy.
Okay.
You know, I mean, as mothers, there's days we would love to go shut the door and climb up in bed and read a good book, but we can't because we have people who need us. And so just courtesy to those around us and to know that, you know, life doesn't come easy, that meal doesn't just appear on the table, and the house doesn't stay clean, and that we're a part of a community, because this teaches our kids how to function in the bigger community when we're here, and from holding down a job to functioning in the world to their own, eventually their own families.
Yeah. I really liked your advice that you told me you'd give to a mom who's having a really rough day. So will you tell us what that is? You said to break the day down.
Yes, to break the day down, because that's how God designed creation. Mm. I mean, he breaks every day down from sunrise to sunset, morning, noon, and night. He breaks every season down. Mm-hmm. And so in the world and the planting and the reaping and the summer, winter. And so to break down our life, so one of the things I did as a fairly young mom when my kids were grade school age, my first ones, I just sat down with a big planner notebook and said, how do I do this? And I started to realize the seasons, because life is cyclical. Mm-hmm. And so the seasons, and then the week, and then the day. There were times I even counted the hours. I mean, how many of us have counted the hours until nap time?
Oh, yeah.
You know? Oh, yeah. So we're up. In 3.5 hours, he gets to take a nap. Mm-hmm. So I only have this long to be nice and together and composed and interested in all the things.
Interested, yes.
If you break it down, it really goes by fast. And that's what they do in school. The bell rings every 55 minutes. You know, that math teacher doesn't have to stay in front of the class for hours and hours. There's just a segment of teaching. And then also if we break the day up into a creative, interesting activities, especially for preschoolers.
Okay.
You know, so there's some outside time. There's some sort of time that you dig in something, and there's some sort of time that you eat, you know, and that you clean up. And then there's some quiet time. So kids know how to behave and not talk all the time and mm-hmm. be rowdy.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some, you know, book time. And there's time with mom. There's time with this sibling. And I would separate the kids out a lot. Okay. I would give them time with like one sibling and say, okay, you guys play for 20 minutes. And I'm going over here with these, because it taught them how to appreciate one another. Okay. And then they weren't really stuck with that one next to them all the time.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, that's really good. With that many kids, you would have to like switch it up and say, no, this is your brother, Charlie. Reintroduce them all. That's so funny. I feel bad for my two. They just have each other.
Yeah, right.
Well, awesome.
But they need their space alone, and I'm sure you provide that, or time with you. You
know, yes.
So.
Yes, definitely. Because I need some time by myself as well. So it's good. Okay, so I had one more question for you. I always like to end with the question, what can you not stop talking about right now?
I think the world is changing so fast. I even asked my kids, I said, can you see culture changing before your eyes? And they all say yes. Mm. And that's a new phenomenon, because you used to only, it wasn't long ago that you could only see it in retrospect.
Mm.
You look back a handful of years and go, wow, this is different. But now it's changing so fast.
It's true.
Part of that change, even though I love the fact that the world is smaller, my daughter's flying in from Cambodia tonight.
And fun.
Yeah, it's, you just jump on a plane and you go do what you want to do. And, you know, it's just interactive. And there's a lot of good that comes with that.
Mm-hmm.
However, our borders are fuzzy.
Mm.
They're fuzzy for us as mothers, for us as human beings, and they're fuzzy for children. And yeah. By fuzzy, I mean, they're just not clear what a day can hold. I mean, we can get on the computer and communicate or look at something from, you know, across the world. Mm-hmm. And as kind of odd as that may sound, if you look back historically, it really changes. It's a game changer
yeah.
on human development. And even scientists say, you know, we don't really know what this is going to look like long term, what this does to our brains,
yeah.
to attention span, our psyche, to our soul. And as parents, we really have the privilege and the obligation to reel it back and help our kids have a predictable, simple, enjoyable start in this world. And, you know, you read over and over again how important the start of someone's life is to what happens later on.
Yeah.
That's our role. And that's going to vary for all of us because we all have different values and, you know, skills and interests and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
However, the information on screen time, being a visual learner over being an auditory learner, I mean, the kids need to be able to hear us when we speak to them. They need to be able to hear the people around us.
Mm-hmm.
If they watch too much, if their world is primarily visual, then they only hear our first couple of words. And after that, it's and we sound like Charlie Brown's parents, you know?
Yeah.
And you really shut out what's around you. And so to really help our children be whole people by exciting all of their senses while they're around us with the smells and touch and what they see and what they hear and to interact with other people and to touch human beings. I know that sounds so basic, but to get hugs and to
cook and go outside and all that kind of stuff.
To just enjoy the world around us because adulthood comes really fast and, you know, responsibilities and all that lies with that. That's the main thing, just to help our kids have a firm beginning. And I can't tell you exactly how to do that, but we all can say some components that are indicators of a quality life.
No, you're right. And I think the tricky part is it takes so much more effort than sitting in front of a screen. So people, you know, obviously we're going to go the easy route if we don't know why it's important to not, you know.
I just think if we can add variety to our kids' lives, and it's a constant, we have to be energetic and proactive to do it because society, it not only doesn't do it, it works against us that way, you know.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
Our kids can become robotic and start to lose the ability to feel the world around them.
Mm.
And that's our privilege to help them enjoy life.
It's true.
And it helps us. It spills back on us.
That's true. It's a really good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so I want to talk really quick about your Refresh Gathering, which is coming up here pretty soon.
Yes.
I'm so excited. I want you to tell everybody what it is and who it's for.
Okay. Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
I've had this on my mind, my heart for about 2 years. I've been praying about it and envisioned a gathering for women in the DFW area, because that's where I live, that they could come for one day and just get refreshed on a lot of levels. And so we've reserved a venue for the 18th of February. It's in Grapevine. Okay. A little centrally located to the DFW area. It looks like a resort, but it's just hidden, which is so cool because you're probably 15 minutes from home.
I love it.
Yeah, but you feel like you're out in the country, which you didn't have to drive. We'll be there all day. We'll have a variety of speakers who will come through with a big variety of backgrounds, all women, and be speaking on aspects of being refreshed, body, soul, and spirit. It's exclusively a Christ-centered event. We call it a gathering because this is not a women's retreat. It's not a women's event like really anything I've attended before.
Okay.
The messages will be short. They'll be intact. We'll have a lot of contact with one another. The venue is moderately sized. So if you come alone and stay alone, there's a place for you. If you come with a table full of friends, there's a place for you. It's all in one. From the time you get out of the car to the time you get back in your car, everything is taken care of when you're there. So you don't have to bring things and shuffle stuff and all of that. It's a retreat from the moment you walk in the doors.
That sounds so wonderful.
Good.
I can't wait.
Me too.
I can't wait. Yes. I'm so thankful that you're willing to do all the work for it and prayerfully move forward. I'm excited.
Thank you. That's the fun part.
Yeah. Well, Debbie, thank you for sharing your wisdom and your heart with me. I really appreciate it. And I'm so thankful to have you as a resource and share you with my listeners.
I'm honored to be a part of your wonderful show. And I love my mug.
Yay. Thanks, Debbie. I love it. So good.
Good.
Awesome. Well, have fun with your daughter tonight.
Thank you.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Hey, so I loved Debbie's perspective on teenagers. I think a lot of times we think, oh my gosh, that's going to be so hard. Or when we do have teens, we think, oh, this is the worst. They're so disrespectful. But she kept bringing it back to them and their perspective. And they are struggling. And a lot is new. And a lot is going on. And a lot of hard things are being dealt with and thought through. And I think having had 11 teenagers, she's learned quite a bit, right? I also just wanted to say really quick, if someone like Debbie, and I know Debbie, this was never Debbie's intention, and Debbie wouldn't even tell you she has everything together, but I think if we look at someone who has 11 kids, we can think, oh my gosh, I only have this amount of kids and I can hardly handle it. So she must be amazing and have a halo and all her kids line up, you know, in order of height and sing songs on their way to go to bed at night. And none of that stuff's true, right? But we sometimes can just look at anybody else's situation and compare it to our own, and it's the worst. It never goes well. And it makes us feel like we're not enough. And the fact is, ladies, we aren't enough. For those of us who walk with the Lord and who trust Christ, we understand that we literally aren't enough. And all we can bring to the Lord, each of us, 11 kids, one kid, successful career, stay-at-home mom, it doesn't matter. All that any of us have to offer is our need. And that ought to be really freeing, because we don't have to tidy anything up or do better or be more or say the right thing. In Luke 18, Jesus talks about how he wants us to come to him like children. So let's think about the way our kids come to us. They usually have snot on their faces. A lot of times they smell pretty bad. Usually they're sticky for unknown reasons. We don't know what they got into when we weren't looking. Sometimes their clothes are on backwards, or they have no clothes on. Or my son was always missing his right shoe, for example. Doesn't make any sense. They come and they're a mess. Just a real mess. But you guys, they come to us because they depend on us and because they need us. And that is exactly what we need to do with the Lord. Bring him our needs, depend on him more. Ladies, I think somewhere along the lines, we decide that we need to put a bow on it before we can talk to Jesus about anything. And it's just not true. So this week, if you're feeling insecure or like you're not enough, realize you're right. I'm not enough. But Lord, you are enough. So I would encourage you to bring your mothering mess to Jesus and tell him about it. Or bring your personal mess to Jesus that's affecting your parenting. And remember that he wants your healing more than you do. Okay, so what will your strategy to struggle well be this week? Maybe just this week you sit with the Lord and say, I am needy, and that's exactly where you want me. And just pour out all the needs that you have. Maybe, like Debbie said, you can work this week to keep the word of God out and present in your home. One way I like to do that is that I have a waterproof Bible. I can put a link to that in the show notes too, but I keep it out, or actually I had it out for a while and then I put it back. But this week I'm going to keep it back out on my island in my kitchen because nobody can mess it up because it's waterproof. Because we don't want our nice Bibles out, right? We're afraid they're going to get spaghetti sauce on them or orange juice or peanut butter and jelly. But waterproof Bible, just wash it off. Maybe you can work on breaking your day down into sections. If looking at a whole day just seems completely overwhelming, which, totally overwhelms me, just break it up into sections like she talked about. Maybe you need to sign up for the Refresh Gathering that she's hosting in February because you just really need some of that. I'm going to be going. I'm so excited. It sounds like the best time ever. Maybe, like so many of my guests talk about the personality tests, maybe you take a personality test and just see, who are you? What do you like? I love how Debbie reminded us it's by design. None of this is by chance. You were made the way you were made for a reason. So explore that this week, perhaps. I liked how she talked about this. Sometimes we impose intentions on people. We decide their motivations, and we're not always right. I just read the book Rising Strong by Brené Brown, and one of the things that she said in there that's really been helpful for me in my marriage is to say, the story I'm making up right now is that blank. And it lets the other person know, this is what I think your motivation is behind what you're doing. Like, for example, yesterday I came home from work and my husband had cleaned the kitchen sink. And so dumb. But I got really upset by it. And I was like, why am I so upset that he's cleaning the kitchen sink? And it's because the story I was making up was that he was trying to give me a hint that I do not do a good enough job keeping the house clean, which I know that I don't. I'm really busy. But I thought he was sending me a message and he was just trying to clean the sink. So turns out there was not as much to that as I was thinking that there was. But so sometimes we do decide people are up to no good, and that's not always the case. So maybe this week you can talk about the story that you're making up with the person that you keep having negative interactions with. And maybe you can come to the point that you realize, oh, so you're not a big bad dude after all. All right, guys, so much there. Really, really good stuff from Debbie. Hope that you feel encouraged. I hope that you know that I daily lift you up before our Father and just ask Him to strengthen you and encourage you. Your job is super important. It is super hard some days, but it's always, always worth it. We may not see that for a while, but just know that it's worth it. You can find the notes on anything that you missed in the show notes at momstrugglingwell.com. And I hope you have a great week of struggling well.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.